This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
From the sound, Jimmy Hart.
This is Jerry Lynn.
Hey, you've got Terry Funk here.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Let the main event begin!
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE.
This is Matt Hardy.
This is Natty Neidhart.
This is Stampede T.J. Wilson.
This is Harry Smith.
TNA.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
I'm Mojo.
Hi, this is Christy Annie, TNA Knockout.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Sound.
And NEC. It's still real to me, damn it! With your host.
Are there any assholes in the building?
Tim Sy.
The head asshole in charge.
Spud.
That boy is an asshole.
Mace.
Hold the Raven. Eat my shorts.
Will.
Hey, yo.
And the Omega.
Of the whole fucking show.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Yeah, baby.
I'm focused, get up, don't get up, I'll never let up. Ferocious, I'm fed up, dismissing the competition. You're hopeless, I'll trash their ambition. Listen, you want a class on tradition or one condition? Forget the best of the century.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We just got done with No Surrender, and I beg to differ because something definitely surrendered tonight, but we will get to that in a minute. As always, this is the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network, the Omega, leading the way into another edition of the show. Unfortunately, we don't have Will or Spug due to personal reasons, but we do have the one and only Mace.
Cornette's face. Fuck this company!
And subbing in for the personal missing Spug and Will, we have Mr. Alan Wojcik.
I had nothing to do with them not making their appearance tonight, despite the rumors.
Nah, I still claim they're both higher than kites right now. And, of course, at the head of the pack, it is the one and only Tim Stein.
Who's responsible for this? I want my money back, goddammit. Rah, rah, rah. Welcome to WTR Sunday Night, where all we do is bash TNA because why? It's cool to bash TNA because it's not as cool as WWE.
Because the WWE is so cool right now.
Yeah, they suck too. Hey, everybody, good evening. Welcome to WTR Sunday Night. Yeah, you know what? Everybody's got opinions. We are more than happy to give you a form to voice your own. We don't say something sucks just because it's cool to say something sucks. If something sucks, we'll tell you why we think it sucks. And don't forget, it's always only our opinions. And you're welcome to it. Guys,
and they're
TNA
free.
No Surrender.
And they're free.
They don't
have our own jokes.
We have our own. No, we don't. We steal them. What are you talking about?
Oh, right. That's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, opinions and assholes. It's Wrestle Talk Radio.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought we were credible for a minute.
Oh, fuck no. I thought you got the memo. Did you not? Didn't you get the memo?
I never check my memos.
Omega, Omega, Omega. My God. You can't even do TJTV on a weekly basis. I should have realized you can't check out memos.
Hey. It's been weekly for a whole 2 weeks now.
Well, that doesn't mean anything unless you can keep it up for four. But bang, yeah, this is where you say that's what she said.
Well, no, because then we're stealing jokes again.
Well, what are you talking about? Where'd we steal that one from?
I don't know.
Don't say
really
the opposite.
Don't
say the opposite. I don't watch The Office. I hate The Office. The Office is a stupid fucking TV show.
Are you saying that because it's popular?
It's just really dumb, you know? I don't find it funny.
I don't watch it myself.
I don't know. You know, a wrestling pay-per-view is on, and it should tell you our state of mind if we're talking about a TV show. There was a point to that one. A
TV show that we don't watch.
That we don't watch. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so we all had a chance to check out TNA's No Surrender. We are going to let you know what we thought about it. We want to hear your opinions, too. Don't forget, we have a toll-free line. You can call in 877-588-9877. Tonight's option is number 3 to get on the show. And there you go. So why don't we just dive right into it, Mr. Alan Wojcicki, by the way. Thanks for subbing.
Sure, no problem.
Sure, no problem. Gee, you just sound like you watched the pay-per-view that was booked funny.
I did. Oh, please go right into the wackiest booked pay-per-view in the longest time.
Well, here it is, guys. Mace, Omega, Alan. We're not going to talk about the booking until after we look at all the matches, okay? Then we'll explain why we think the booking was kind of sampling a little bit of Jeff Hardy's medicine cabinet.
The other maniacs make more sense than that did.
Yeah. Can't disagree. All right, so opening up, TNA's No Surrender is the TNA Tag Team Championship match. Now, originally it was the Motor City Machine Guns, who are the title holders, to square off versus London Brawling. However, London Brawling is out due to, quote, end quote, personal reasons. The rumor going around, it's disciplinary action for something that happened earlier this week, Mace.
Really? That, I don't know, what, the penis joke Chelsea made about Nigel McGuinness?
Quite possibly.
Well, I'm sorry, I watched Impact last night.
You know, nobody knows. That's just the rumor going around. Nothing's been confirmed or denied at this point in time. So, stepping up, and I couldn't think of a better team more deserving, or even one currently listed as TNA tag team, but Generation Me to take on the Motor City Machine Guns. Good match to open up pay-per-view. I mean, the crowd it's a TNA crowd. Is there a pay-per-view they're not hot for even before the first match starts?
I've heard them dead every now and then. But yeah, for the most part, they're a lively batch.
Thanks for playing along. So, it's my contention, and has always been my contention. You gotta start with something that's gonna get them going. Well, you know, they were pretty much going right from the bell here. Great match, Motor City Machine Guns retain. However, they do the heel turn beatdown after the match, and it looks like I don't know if it's legit or some kind of a work, but it looks like at the end of the match at the beatdown that Shelley suffered some kind of neck injury.
That was stiff looking. It was shades of Ricky Steamboat, Jake Roberts, for those history buffs out there that are going, wow, that looked original. No, it didn't.
Not to somebody who's as old as Alan or older.
Yeah, hey, I'm a couple thousand years old if you ask my kids.
No, you're a couple hundred years old. I'm a couple thousand.
Thank you, sir.
Don't forget I'm older than you.
Tim admits it!
Hey, Mace, shut up and talk about the match.
Do I have to?
Yeah. You didn't make your lunch yet when this match is on, so yeah, you have to.
Yeah, but I arrived late for it. Does that count for anything?
No, it doesn't count for anything. Come on, you got people tuned in just to listen to you talk, so start talking.
Basically, we always say, you know, you got to sell them the sizzle and the steak. This one was pretty much all sizzle. Not really much substance or steak to the match, in my opinion. It was lots of bouncy, flippy, fun, whee, trampolines. But, yeah, the heel turn that nobody really gives a shit about. Again, I am going with the trademark line of meh.
Yeah. You better get that copyrighted before the WWE steps in, me. So, Omega, you're...
I can't. My friend Jen already has it. She's got the copyright.
Meh.
Get to use it.
There you go. Okay, Omega, your opinions, your thoughts, your observations, man.
I don't know. It seems to me that Generation Me pretty much gets stuck in wherever a tag team is needed these days, which kind of disappoints me because they started to have something going with Ink Inc. that actually had some kind of build up with, like, people that were, you know, people got to know in TNA, you know, before they became a tag team. Whereas we know Generation Me is relatively new. Yeah. Good match, but, you know, heel turn at the end. Why? I mean, the guys are barely established anyway, so I don't see the point of doing it now, especially when they're just filling in.
Yeah, well, it just smacks to me that this personal issues for London Brawling might be more than just the pay-per-view, you know what I mean? So we need somebody to, at least for the time being, take their place.
I suppose.
Even though there's no TNA Impact this Thursday night. Interesting.
So get us started on that debacle.
Oh, we'll talk about it afterwards. So letter grades, everybody, starting with Omega.
About a B.
No, alrighty, Mace.
It's a C, watchable but not great.
Watchable but not great, and so the letter grade would be?
I said, C already, Tim. C. Clean the earwax out of your ears.
Yeah, I didn't hear you say C. There you go. Alan.
I'd give it a B minus.
Okay. Well, it gets a resounding C plus for me. Next match, TNA X Division Championship. Everybody gets a kick out of the way I say this guy's name. It's Sabu versus Doug Williams. Doug Williams being the champ. Omega.
Oh, and just when I thought Sabu was over his whole botching thing.
Botchamania.
Oh, he's back. This is the Sabu I know.
Is that Sabu or Sabotch?
It's Sabu, and pronounce it right.
Sabu.
You and me need to have an English lesson at some point.
Okay, let me explain why I say it just the tiniest a little bit differently than you do. When Paul Heyman decided that he wanted to bounce checks on his performers and stuff, Sabu came up here and worked Stampede, but his pronunciation had to be altered slightly. Okay. And so I'm used to that. Go ahead. Continue.
Okay, as long as there's an excuse. I don't know. I honestly don't think Sabu works a good match unless there's someone in there that really suits his style, and Douglas Williams is not that person. And he needs to be in there with a Rob Van Dam. He needs to be in there, with a Jerry Lynn or someone that could, like, roll with any of these high-flying moves that are associated with Sabu.
Role? You mean like the pharmaceutical role?
In the right circumstances? You know, I'm sure you need some kind of drugs to be able to be willing to take, like, a flying leg drop with a chair on top of a table. I'm sure there's some help there. But the smash really wasn't all that impressive to me. It just didn't mesh very well.
I understand that. Mace.
Yeah, again, like Omega was saying, you know, we have Sabotch here this week. And I believe I'm going to put a lot of this on Douglas Williams, because if anybody remembers back to when he was going up against Kazarian, somebody who was fast and high-flying and everything, Williams just couldn't keep up, just couldn't handle that type of pace or that type of style. Again, you've got Sabu, who's... Okay, yeah, he's older, but he's still pretty good for his age, and he does a lot of high flying. So, again, Douglas Williams could not keep up and put on a pretty lackluster match. Not much else I can say about it.
All right, Alan.
I made the reference earlier. It seems like unless Sabu has somebody that he's friends with and the other realm of pharmaceutical or not pharmaceutical, it was sad because I've seen video of this guy in his prime, and Douglas Williams carried him through this whole match, and you ripped me to shreds for saying it, but I felt that's what happened here, and there you go.
Okay, well, can I just rip you to shreds on principle, even though I agree with
right
you?
I hate your face.
Yeah, there you go. No, Williams carried Sabotch through this match. I'm agreeing with you on that one. Lackluster, not really anything special. It was kind of boring, to tell you the truth. C minus for me, Alan.
C minus.
Mace.
Again, C.
All right. Omega.
Yeah, C minus as well.
Ooh, so Mace found it more entertaining than we did.
That's only because I like to watch Sabu botching, and then I'll watch it again when it appears on Botchamania in 2 weeks.
Oh, there you go. Well, I guess that explains it, yeah. By the way, for those of you who might have possibly tuned in and wanted to hear the sweet melodic strains of Spug's voice, because he doesn't watch TNA pay-per-views, at least he didn't watch tonight, he will be joining the show after we're finished looking at the pay-per-view. We're going to just zip right through the first four matches because the pay-per-view zip right through the first four matches. Next one up is Velvet Sky with Angelina Love versus Madison Rayne with Tara. But right before that, Christy Hemme interviews Mr. Anderson. Anderson makes some kind of a joke about the Pope not trusting him, says the congregation is a bunch of assholes and that he'd win tonight.
Yep, interesting. Let's keep going.
Yeah, there's a big surprise. So, Velvet Sky wins and beats Madison Rayne. You know, it's a woman's match. But the good thing is, it's a TNA woman's match. If that means anything at all to you, Omega.
Yeah, I generally put a TNA women's match a little bit above WWE, even if it is the modern, you know, Bischoff, Hogan, we're only gonna keep people with really nice jubbly tits on. It was a decent match for a women's match. The fact that you had, Madison Rayne and Tara flirting before the match, that didn't hurt it.
Well, okay. Well, we'll let you get away with that one. Mace.
Boobies! yeah, like I was saying in our little production chat during the show, for some reason I'm getting into this feud as much as I can, you know, a lot more than the other ones. Sure, it might be just because I enjoy looking at Velvet's tits, but, you know, she's got good tits.
No matter how plastic they are. Alan, your observations.
I'm still going like, so Tara's here, huh? And
yeah,
I stepped out before the beginning of the match to check on Abby, who's sleeping in the other room producing Tuesday night's show, and walk back in and I'm like, oh crap, they're in the ring. So I type to you guys, did they say why Tara's here? No. Shocking. I would never have had this match on the pay-per-view, but hey, I'm not the booker. Like the beautiful people, the original beautiful people, and Madison needs to go away. Seriously, go bye-bye.
There you go. All right, so I think everybody's pretty much had their say. The only thing I can really add to it is I don't think I've seen that much silicon in one place, except for the last time I cracked open my computer.
Seriously, not since the last time they did a Divas Battle Royal?
I don't think I watched that.
Well, then you should try watching wrestling a bit more, Tim, seeing as you're on a wrestling-based show.
Well, yeah, no, the thing is, I cracked open my computer yesterday, right? There was no Divas Battle Royal yesterday.
Whatever, Tim.
Right. All right. So, letter grades. Yeah, give this one straight C average, Omega.
For the battle of the massive cleavage, otherwise known as the Silicon Valleys, probably about a B minus.
The Silicon Valleys. Yeah, I could just see that being a Knockouts tag team at some point in the future. Mace.
Oh yeah.
See, originally I would have liked to have given this one a double D, given the average bust sizes in that ring. However, I'm going to go smaller than all those girls and give it a C-.
All right, I'm just detecting a pattern here. Alan, your turn.
B-.
Okay, there we go. Jeff Hardy gets interviewed by Christy Hemme. Go ahead, Omega.
The bee does kind of look like a pair of boobies. Or, no, never mind, just move on.
Yeah, I think that we will move on. That was a joke that was so bad, even I wouldn't tell it. But you know, no, anyway, so Christy Hemme interviewing Jeff Hardy. Jeff puts over Kurt as best wrestler in the world and promises he's going to win in honor of RVD. Now, we're going to be talking about this match, and we got a lot of disappointment with this match to hash out, and it's not what you're probably possibly thinking. Then again, it might be. You never know. Next match, falls count anywhere. Rhino versus Abyss. Abyss wins. Surprise, surprise, the false count anywhere pinfall is struck in the ring. Alan.
I think I saw this match at least 5 times in the tenure that I covered TNA wrestling. Them going underneath the stage was a new one. They went through back hands at another point, so another one of these. Yeah, we've got an issue from an Impact show. Let's put them right on pay-per-view. But, hey, I didn't write this.
There you go, Mace.
I reckon whoever does the jagged line cuts for just about anything to do with wrestling is working overtime, first cutting the women's championship in half and now cutting a very obvious cut in the stage for Rhino to tumble out of. So definitely the guy's working overtime lately. This is probably one of the better Rhino versus Abyss Falls Count Anywhere matches that I've seen watching TNA, and like Alan said, they've done this a lot, so that's actually saying something.
Mm-hmm.
But unlike Rhino, I so saw that finish coming where he hits the guardrail. But yeah, I'll tell you now, this one will get a B- from me, so don't bother coming back.
Fine, I won't. Omega.
No, this was kind of typical of an Abyss match, and once again, it is a waste of the gimmick. I mean, if you're going to go, okay, falls count anywhere, pin somewhere, anywhere, I don't care if it's on the mat, on the ramp, in the bathroom, do something interesting with it. I mean, this could have been on Impact, or this could have had any other name to it, and I wouldn't have known it was a falls count anywhere match. It'd be a C for me, but about the most entertaining thing in this match was just my own mental picture of what's going on underneath the ramp, well, you know, in the middle of the match, and Rhino gearing himself up to throw himself through a wall. Just for some reason, the mental image just amuses me.
Do you want to grade it now or later?
I said it was a C.
Okay. Alan.
It's a C. Like I said, we've seen this before. Lots of fun, but could have done it differently.
Okay, well, the only problem I have with it is it seems like every single match out lately that's a falls count anywhere match, the pinfall is always awarded in the ring. And if it's falls count anywhere, come on, spice it up. Like you said, Omega, like do it, you know, on the stage, on the ramp, outside the ring, in the fucking parking lot. Just give us something for a change. That is pretty much the biggest negative I got to say about this particular match. These guys, you know, showed that they could still do it, like you're saying, Mace. Pretty much stands right up there with almost every match that these guys have ever done between 2004 and 2007. I gotta be really generous here and give it a B-.
Yeah, you got him.
That's cool. That's your prerogative, boss.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it was a lot more entertaining than the previous one. I'll give you that much. But that being said, hey, you know, believe it or not, guys, that's half the pay-per-view in 23 minutes.
Wow, we're just gunning through it, aren't we?
And we're just gunning right through it. We got a lot to cover tonight. We got a bunch of things we want to talk about. Plus, some breaking news concerning Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Everybody listen to WTR Sunday night. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this. We'll be right back.
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show. So tune in. Listen. I demand it.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the producer of Anything Goes, which you can hear every Thursday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, like most guys, and quite frankly girls out there, probably want to know what's going on through the mind of Cindy Sin. Well, here's a little secret. I have the inside scoop with that connected. And well, I've been secretly taping her dreams for a while now. So, let's hear what goes on.
Eat my pussy. I like big cocks. Fuck me harder. Fuck, I'm vibrating here. Sir Rockin is the greatest producer on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Rock is number one.
Really, Cindy? You really think of me like that? Oh, that's so sweet.
Eat my pussy.
Do you want to know more about her dreams and fantasies and all of her, well, sexual desires? Tune in Thursday nights for Anything Goes, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'll even be there. Unless she kills me for taping this.
Rock?
Oh, crap. She found out. I'm a dead man.
Professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. The Hero says, whenever they wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam,
Mr. Kennedy,
Christian Cage,
Brett Derry,
Candice LaSalle,
Christy Hemme,
Jay Lethal,
yesterday,
Brett the Hitman Hart,
the Sergeant Slaughter,
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man,
Paul Hogan, the quickest of all time,
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman,
and tomorrow,
Peter Wilson, Natty Neidhart,
Harry Smith, Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site for pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slobber knocker.
Yeah, welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. If you haven't done so yet, tell all your friends we're on the air, we're live, and we're ready to take your phone calls. Should you choose to call in, we got a toll-free number set up for you, 877-588-9877, option number 3, and that works all across North America. Now, if you don't want to spend our money, because it's a free call for you, or you live outside of North America, you can ring us up if you got Skype. All you got to do is add Sir Rockin' to your contacts, and then you can get in touch with us live on the show. Breaking news, everybody. The Spud Guy will not be appearing on tonight's episode of WTR Sunday Night due to Omega personal issues.
Oh, damn, those personal issues are rampant tonight.
Is he in the Hillsborough County facility with someone else? Did he make his way to Florida?
No, but we got some breaking news about that, don't we?
Oh, smashing news. I found the report. Holy Mother of God.
Oh, you finally found the report.
See, that's where Desmond Wolfe is. He's off to bail him out.
Rock's got blank, but you have to be careful how you get to it. I can tell you on the break.
All right, there you go. Yeah, might as well tell everybody what we're talking about before we continue to look at the pay-per-view. Thanks to Tony O in the chat room who gave us this link. Former WWF Tag Team Champion, father to current WWE Diva Natalya Neidhart, Jim the Anvil Neidhart was arrested earlier today, charged with 2 counts of possession of a controlled substance, 2 counts of trafficking in a controlled substance, 1 count of burglary of an occupied dwelling, and 1 count of grand theft. Now, Neidhart was arrested this morning in, I don't know how to say that, the name of that city.
Thonatosassa.
Okay, Thonatosassa, Florida. After deputies were alerted of Neidhart being loud and yelling as he attempted to open a pill bottle while pumping gas at a gas station parking lot on Fletcher Avenue. Now, yeah, knowing Jim the Anvil Neidhart, I know for a fact he can be loud when he wants to be. He can be argumentative and abrasive whenever he feels like doing so. So this is not a huge surprise for me. What is surprise is that his argumentative nature with the authorities led them to pat him down. They found 28 methadone tablets, 95 Oxycontin pills. All right, now, several pill bottles in Neidhart's possession were apparently prescriptions belonging to neighbors who had recently reported them stolen. Neidhart is listed as a self-employed entertainer on this arrest record. He's currently being held without bond pending first appearance before a judge. Now, due to the Labor Day holiday in North America, he will likely not be seen before Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm looking at the arrest record in front of me, boss, and holy crapola.
He's got a whole bunch of shit going against him.
Count one, possession of controlled substance with intent, has a $2,000 bond to it with 95 Oxycontin in. Count two, possession of controlled substance with intent, 28 methadone. Count three, trafficking in illegal drugs, 4 to 14 grams, controlled substances, 95 cotton in. Trafficking in illegal drugs, 4 to 14 grams. Count four, controlled substance of methadone, as you mentioned. Count five, burglary of an unoccupied dwelling. Count six, grand theft third degree, which in Florida is the $300 to $5,000. So that's felony three. Count five is felony two. The rest are felony ones. And, yeah, you're right. He is currently in the jail. And, wow, that's a evil-looking mugshot. I can provide the link to everybody. There's just you have a certain way to get to it, because if I copy and paste the link, it denies me. So I'll post it in the message thing for Rock on how to get to it, and then he can share with the masses.
Hey, there you go. Yeah, I guess you could call Jim the Anvil Neidhart the old generation's version of Jeff Hardy, hey?
Oh, why not?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so it's Jeff Neidhart or James Hardy, yeah. Take your pick, I suppose. I don't know. So that's the latest breaking news that was thrown at us, basically brought to our attention once again by Tony O in the chat room. Once again, thank you very much for that, Tony. Now, the link that Alan was talking about is now in the chat room. Click that, you get to see that's the picture, is it? Or the whole thing?
Is it letting you guys at it?
I'm looking at it.
Okay, so it did work. Okay.
Okay. So, yeah, go ahead, take a look at that, and you'll get to see what's going on there. It won't allow some of us, me being one of them. So
just follow what I just typed in. That's the easiest way to find them.
Okay, well, go to www.hcso.tampa.fl.us. When you go there, go to Inquiries Online, then Arrest Inquiry, then James Neidhart, and you'll see it.
Or just look at Ustream right now.
Or just look at the chat page in Ustream.
Well, Sir Rockin's a god among us peons, so what do you want from me?
And so there you go. There's Jim the Anvil. And, you know, you say that's evil looking. No, that's just him looking like he, you know, he's rest, relaxed, and calm, and good to go.
That's him going, crap, they caught me.
No, I'm telling you, that's him. Look, I know Jim. That's just his everyday, yeah, whatever look.
Yeah, but didn't a certain place with friends have an interview scheduled with him?
I didn't think that they'd be able to afford a $100 bar tab.
Who are they? They don't
matter. I have no idea. Sorry.
10, 10, 10.
Anyway, inside jokes all the way around. Let's get back to the pay-per-view. Next up, Jeff Jarrett and Samoa Joe taking on Kevin Nash and Sting. Thanks to Hulk Hogan, Samoa Joe finally agrees to tag with Jeff Jarrett. Jeff and Joe win. Now, here's the interesting thing. Good guy, babyface Jeff Jarrett gets a hold of Sting's bat and uses it in order to incapacitate Sting enough for Joe to slap on the runic choke and get the win. Omega.
Before the match, Jeff was the one telling him to get rid of Sting's bat. I mean, yep. He was trying to keep it fair. So, number one, yeah, it comes off as hypocritical. Number two, it comes off even dirtier because of that. So, I'm not exactly sure what TNA is trying to go for. Whether, okay, beat him at their own game, or if Jeff is actually going to go heelish a little bit on us. I don't know. It just gave a really awkward feel to the end of this match. I felt like even the crowd wasn't exactly sure how to take that.
Yeah. Mace.
My dim sims were yummy. This was my lunch break, guys. I decided, you know, don't really need to see something that we would have seen in WCW back in 98. So I decided to go and make lunch, and yeah, it was Dim Sims, which were really nice.
Dim Sims. Now, is that different than Dim Sum? What is Dim Sims?
Dim Sims, little meat parcels wrapped in pastry, deep fried.
All right. Is that like a Chinese thing?
Yeah.
Okay. And they come like in a package, and it actually says Dim Sim?
Yes.
Wow, that's weird.
Well, it's quite normal here in Australia, so...
Well, that explains it. Yeah, that explains it. Bloody Australia, they can't get anything right. For instance, yesterday for you guys was Sunday, and it was Aussie Father's Day.
And your point is?
Happy Aussie Father's Day, a day late to all the Aussies tuned in. We got a couple, I know that.
Very good.
There
you
go.
What did you think of the match, Tim?
So, it's pretty much what Omega said. I don't know, man. I don't know. Jeff Jarrett, coming across as long as he has as, you know, the guy who's been, kicked in the nuts by all the bad guys, you know, getting the crowd behind him and all of a sudden, you know, he's the good guy. And then all of a sudden he goes back and does his 1997 heel routine bullshit.
Well, that was a couple of years ago. He was a heel in this company. So don't go that far back, man.
Well,
but can't this be construed as a desperate times call for desperate measures type thing? What's good for the goose is good for the gander?
I suppose that's one way you could possibly look at it, but the flavor of it was wrong. It just makes me think of Jeff Jarrett trying to be Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know, the anti-hero.
I think he was just trying to reach for something with strings and couldn't find anything.
Grab the bat instead. Okay, if you say so. Alan, your thoughts?
It was mentioned in our private chat. I was just, you know, kind of like, yeah, fans forget he's heel. And I'm like, now that crowd remembers that he's heel. You remember a couple years ago, that building rained bottles and cans on the man after he won the world title with the help of Earl Hebner and Larry Zbysko. So nothing surprises me anymore. Another match that just seem like it was put together. This show almost, this pay-per-view felt like a Clash of Champions to me, and I know I shouldn't use that remark because it's copyrighted by the other company, but that's kind of how this felt. It's like, yeah, let's throw that match out there because, you know, we've been feeding it before. So we need to fill a slot on this thing.
Ah, okay. Well, give it a rating.
C.
C. Omega.
Yes, this is a C.
Mace, can you even possibly dream up a rating even though you were too busy eating deep-fried Chinese dumplings?
Can I go with the obligatory C?
I was almost expecting you to say the obligatory meh, but sure, okay. We'll give it a C-plus on my end. There you go. Next match up! AJ Styles versus Tommy Dreamer. It's an I Quit match, gang. Oh, Tommy Dreamer in an I Quit match. We're looking forward to this one, weren't we, Omega?
Yeah, this was a little, this was interesting in the booking, you know, cause it is the hot, it is a hardcore icon in a match that technically he should never be losing.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, this is the second match in a row that I feel wasn't really booked as well as it should have been. I mean, granted, he had a fork in his eye at the time, but I'm still not sold on that. It's Tommy freaking Dreamer.
It kind of sort of destroys the legend a bit, doesn't it?
You know, I just wish they'd come up with a little bit better than, okay, I'm going to jab a fork in your eye, because technically you should have to hit this guy with a bulldozer to keep him down.
Pretty much, pretty much. Alan.
I'm still trying to figure out why all of a sudden, it's even an I Quit match. You save the I Quit match for Bound for Glory, instead of doing it here on No Surrender. It was interesting to see an I Quit match with Psychology. I like Tommy Dreamer as a wrestler, and I got a point that you don't take out Tommy Dreamer like this. And we referenced it in our private chat going back to, I think it was Royal Rumble 97 or 8 or 9 when Mick Foley, in quotes, said I quit to 99. The Rock. And he, it was 99, because I remember it being a part of the Beyond the Mat film. And I said, oh, you had, he didn't lose face in doing that. But as the guy said, Tommy kind of does lose face, but the dude had a fork in his eye, man. And he ain't classy Freddie Blassie from back in the day. You know, he gets mad, so. I think it was an entertaining match. I hope it goes to something of Bound for Glory. I don't know if it will.
Okay, Mace?
Yeah, this was one that I was looking forward to, and then once it came down to the execution, especially the finish, I must say, I was disappointed. And as much as we did use the Rock Mick Foley analogy, Foley never actually said, I quit. That was piped in. This is Tommy Dreamer. Okay, yeah, he's got a fork to the eye. Well, actually, it was more to his eyebrow. But, you know, kayfabe breaking. But frankly, we have seen Tommy beaten worse than this millions of times over the year, you know. To the point where you've got friends of Tommy's out on a stage and going, you know, just give up, Tommy, just give up. And he's like, no, I'm not going to keep doing. This was the guy who turned around to Sandman and said, please, sir, can I have another after taking four of the stiffest cane shots ever?
I remember that. Yeah.
This destroyed the legacy that is Tommy Dreamer, in my opinion. The guy that you've built up as the guy who never says quit, never says die, the man who goes through just about anything, and he screams like a little bitch.
Yeah, I had.
If this was Heyman booking, hell, even if this was Vince booking, you know for a fact, even putting the fucking fork to his eye, you know Tommy would pass out bleeding before he would say, I quit. Yet leave it to TNA to take a great character and flush it down the toilet.
Yeah, yeah, Jersey Girl, AJ won. Now, here's the thing. I can understand them putting AJ over. I can't understand the finish the way exactly what you're talking about. Okay, so sure. He takes a fork to the eye. Now he's blinded. He tries to fight while he's blinded. AJ takes advantage, smashes his head repeatedly on the ring post. The guy out cold. And then, you know, AJ slaps some kind of finisher on him while he's out cold. Sure, he can't say, I quit. But he can't win the match either. So the match, you know, there you go, AJ, you won the match. And then, like all you guys are saying in the production chat, especially you, Omega, and Rock, you know, slap the eye patch on him. He comes back with one eye. This ain't over till it's over. Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, especially since, when was the last time we ever saw a match end due to ref stoppage? I haven't seen that ending in years, and I wish they would bring it back. Because it gives a lot more legitimacy to the actual match itself. And before anybody else that might be listening from elsewhere goes on the usual other places of bashing TNA, for the record, I'm placing this under TNA booking, which we have established many times over on this network. Great match, bad finish.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, and, you know, just the disappointing finish itself kept this match from being A-plus material. You know, right now I can give it a B-minus, Omega.
I was tempted to give it a B-minus, but I'm going to drop it to about mid-range C.
Ooh,
just for how devastated Tommy Dreamer is at this point.
Alan. Alan, are you with us?
Alan.
Oh, sorry, I muted it because my wife just walked in from dropping off our other daughter at a sleepover. B-minus, as May said, great match, crap ending. It felt like a lot of Hollywood movies where you get to the end and you go, huh?
I paid $17.50 for that, including popcorn?
Yeah, I paid for this crap, and as you guys have said, I've seen bits and pieces of Tommy's career in ECW, and yeah, he's taken a worse beating than what he got tonight, but welcome to TNA Wrestling, Tommy Dreamer, and your reputation.
Yeah, there you go. Mace, great.
As I said, you know, great match, bad finish. It's going to be a B.
Okay, so there you go. The highest mark comes for Mace, a B. And the next match is the one that had us all flabbergasted. And for very good reason, but for different reasons than all the TNA bashers will undoubtedly come up with starting tomorrow and going right through next Saturday night. We're talking the TNA World Championship semifinal round match number one, Kurt Angle versus Jeff Hardy. Now, my biggest beef about this, and I mentioned it several times in the chat room, Rocky said that he was absolutely positive. They mentioned that it was a 20-minute time limit. First off, I didn't hear that there was a 20-minute time limit. Did you hear that, Omega?
Not that I recall, no.
Okay, Mace, are you cognizant of them having said it was a time limit match?
They must have said it in Spanish, man, because I didn't hear it.
Okay, Alan.
Nope. Never heard a thing, Your Honor, and you can't make me say I did.
There you go. All right. And one of our chatters in the chat room who watched the pay-per-view, he never heard it either.
Though I'm sure the booking committee would like you to think that's what happened.
There you go. Now, here's the thing. Okay, first off, it's such an important match. What the fuck are you doing putting a time limit on it to begin with, number one? Number two, fine. Slap the stupid fucking time limit. But make sure that it's promoted up the ass before the match starts, and then mention
it. No, Tim. No, you're not allowed to promote the time limit at all because it ruins the finish, right, Samoa Joe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Still, I'm sticking with my guns and what I said on that one. First off, there shouldn't be a time limit on this fucking thing. Secondly, if you're going to do something like compose a time limit, mention it up the ass. And I'm not kidding. Mention it up the ass. It would have made it a lot more dramatic with what happened. It's a 20-minute draw. Eric Bischoff comes out, confers with Dixie. Nope, we got to put another 5 minutes on the clock. Okay, well, here comes 5 more minutes. Kurt Angle gets busted open, and he bladed when he got slammed into the ring steps. Made it look really good. You could tell he wasn't.
Nobody blades in the heart. Business. Are you kidding, boss?
Oh, come on now. We're a hybrid of kayfabe and breaking it, so don't worry about it, Alan.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. So, yeah, it didn't look like he was busted open the hard way, you know, but it still looked convincing and smooth. However, you know, time limit. Boom. So they slap a second overtime. At the end of that time, Kurt's still saying, let's go, let's go, let's go. The doctors come out. So, no, you're bleeding too much. That cut needs to be tended. Eric says, sorry, guys, it's a draw. Can't help you there. What the fuck? Omega.
Where to begin? Number one, there are so many other ways this could have ended without pulling this kind of, double overtime draw bullshit. You know, have both get pinned. Two refs double pin who got the pin count. That would have made me happy. That would have been fine. And there's a dozen ways out of this situation. I said in the chat, I wouldn't have minded if, like, Pope and Anderson came down and said, no, let him finish. You know, and as soon as they go to pinfall, Pope and Anderson, right in. You know, just roll one match into the other. Fine. Do whatever. Yep. Two, if you're going to call the match because Angle's bleeding too much, why the fuck did you make him cut during the first overtime? You know, if you're going to stop the match and then have a second, okay, 5 more minutes. Why wouldn't you have it happen immediately after he gets cut? Why would you make him go another 5 minutes and then decide, okay, yeah, he's cut too badly? Three, again, if it's so fucking important, why have a goddamn time limit on it in the first place? And if you're going to go to a 20 minute over, why not just go, okay, screw 5 minutes, just go till someone stops. You know?
Yeah.
Just, you know, it was a great match. It was easily the best match of the night. But the ending was just so... ugh! It's one of those infuriating endings where, you know, it doesn't cause intrigue, it causes frustration.
Yeah. And not the good kind.
No.
Not the cliffhanger kind. Alan.
I gotta agree on where to begin here. This match should have ended the pay-per-view, not done this. I would rather have seen them run out of time the way they did and have them say, go to watch. Oh, that's right. You can't watch Impact this week because of the NFL having its Thursday night football kickoff and we're afraid of our ratings going in the toilet. So let's have a gangland marathon instead.
There you
awesome
go, yeah.
Match. Awesome match. Loved every second of it. I never seen Hardy work that good a match. So I'm confounded beyond words. I defer to the rest of the panel to try to explain this.
All right, Mace.
Yeah, this, as it's been said, you know, what the fuck, why the fuck, explain, please, give us some idea before our brains explode. This one was one of those things, was brilliant match from start to finish. We're sitting there going, this match is so awesome that we have Pope and Anderson in the back shitting bricks because they have to follow this up.
Yeah.
Then we hit the first 5 minute. The first 5 minute extension, and it's, yeah, this is great. Okay, we're gonna get excited. This is gonna give it the ending. It's gonna be great. All of a sudden, I've turned around and I've gone, wait a minute. Another 5 minute extension's gonna happen. Then no, it's not gonna happen. 5 minutes, done. Then they hit the second 5 minute extension. Everybody in the crowd's going, what the fuck? We have no idea what's going on anymore. The crowd went dead during that second 5 minute extension, and I think we were the same because we were just going, please God, let it end.
Yeah.
And then to have it end on a fucking blood stoppage, like, I know I said only a few minutes ago, I don't mind a referee stoppage, but a blood stoppage? Not really buying that after the guys have just done half an hour of some of the best wrestling we've ever seen.
Yeah, they could have sold the blood stoppage a lot better. They could have done a much better job, in my opinion. Now, the match itself, phenomenal. Absolutely amazing. Just these two guys, they really put it out there. They did not leave anything in the locker room when they went out to that ring to entertain the fans, I'll tell you that much. And I remember, I think it was last Thursday night, wasn't it, Alan on TNA Impact, where Kurt Angle was saying, you know, Jeff Hardy wrestles to the level of his competition, and I intend to bring out the best in him. And
I think it was either there or it was on the reaction show, and yeah, it was like, wow.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. They brought out the best in each other. And that is one of the more entertaining wrestling matches I have seen in a little while. We've been treated to some pretty good wrestling matches lately over the last month. But, the way they ended it, it's just horrible. Now, here's something else they probably could have used. And thanks to Rock for letting us know way ahead of time, and Tony for posting it in the chat room. TNA's Jeremy Borash claiming on Twitter Kurt Angle suffered a dislocated rib during his match with Jeff Hardy at the pay-per-view. Borash tweeted a photo of Angle backstage and posted an update. The amazing Dr. Tim Adair, who works for TNA backstage, has put Kurt's rib back in place. Angle says he's good to go. What a machine, end quote. Now, you think about it. When did he get his rib dislocated? How long was he wrestling with a buggered-up rib, Omega?
I really want to know. I want to go back and watch this match despite the shit ending just to see at what point that could have happened. Because, you know, if this happened during the last overtime, fine, okay. But, you know, if he went half that match, which it's Kurt Angle, I would expect him to, then, geez, all the respect in the world to the guy. I mean that could not have been comfortable. Like, if he had to go for that Angle slam off the top, and he already had one rib out of place?
Yeah.
No. My paycheck could not be big enough to do that.
I would not be surprised to find that his rib got dislocated when he's standing outside and Jeff did the Swanton on top of him, Alan.
I didn't know you could relocate a rib without actually doing x-rays to see that a rib was dislocated, and I don't remember in all the times I've been at TNA Wrestling them having any medical equipment there. So, yeah. I mean, the closest hospital is Sand Lake Hospital about 5-10 minutes down the road, and I only know it's because that's where they took the late Chris Candido after Sonny Siaki landed on him to open lockdown 2005. So I'll believe it when I actually see some x-rays from Dr. Fine-Tush, whatever his name was.
Intimidare, Dr. Fine-Tush. Listen to
whatever, you. I don't buy it. Further than I can throw it, and I got a good throwing arm these days.
There you go, Mace.
Yeah, I'm just having a look now. Supposedly it did happen with the Swanton on the floor.
And wow, well,
frankly, the dude wrestling, no matter how long, with a dislocated rib, you know, big ups to Kurt Angle, because now he can claim that he not only did he win a gold medal with a broken freaking neck, but he went to a time limit draw twice with Jeff Hardy with a dislocated freaking rib.
Yeah, I can hear that. I can hear that happen. So, but yeah,
doesn't
no, they
quite have the same impact.
Not really, but still, big, huge fucking ups to Kurt Angle for persevering. And that was like at 10 minutes when that happened, roughly, wasn't it? Mace?
I think that was about 15 minutes into the match.
Okay, so that means that he wrestled for 15 minutes with a dislocated rib.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that was before the end. That was before the top rope Angle slam.
Yeah.
That could not have been fun.
So, despite the goofy booked finish on this one, and I'm sorry, I can get the two overtimes, but the detractor was no mention of the time limit, no shoving it in your face. There's a time limit before the match even start or during the match. You know, not being able to get past that, not being able to get past the way they called it and said, nope, that's it, you're too busted up, we'll figure something else out. I'm sorry, this thing could have been an A++ otherwise. I'm going to be extremely generous and give it a B+ just because of it, just because of that, because of my reasons. Omega.
Yeah, this was an A match until that ending, and I'm sorry. But, you know, you could have the best movie or the best book in the world, and if your climax is absolute shit, then the book just isn't going to pay off. It needs the payoff to cement, you know, the quality of the match itself. Wrestling was great. Booking was crap. B+.
There you go. Mace.
Yeah, like Omega said, you know, great wrestling, bad ending. That was really one of these things of we go with the quote-unquote typical TNA booking. You know, these guys went out there, they put on the match of the night. There's no saying otherwise. They had Anderson and Pope in the backstage area shitting bricks because they had to follow this up. However, with the ending, we felt robbed. As fans, we felt robbed of what's going to happen next. And especially with there not being any Impact next week, which makes me wonder what my cable company is going to play instead of Impact. But
Rerun.
Quite possibly they might play Reaction. Who knows? But, you know, we don't get to see what's next until, what, now 2 weeks down the line. This is going to destroy the angle in the end. But still, tonight, best match of the night, probably one of the worst finishes of the night. It's gone from being an A+ in my book to being a B on my book.
Okay, there you go. Alan!
I'm gonna stick with my guns on this should have been the main event. And, no, overtime's only good if you're in an NBA or NHL or Super Bowl. If you're in a playoff, Game 7 Stanley Cup Finals, overtime's awesome. After a 60-minute match, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Angel Orsini, Mercedes Martinez, awesome. This shouldn't have been. Great match, ridiculously horrible ending. And that Bischoff comes out to talk to Dixie was just so, as soon as he came out, it's just like, this is bad. This is really bad. So I'll give it a B+. I can't give it an A because of the ending.
There you go. So a match that deserves a higher mark doesn't get graded higher just because of a couple of niggling issues, as it were. Which brings us to the main event, which I said, you know, and yeah, we were all talking about it in the production chat during the pay-per-view. And I said, you know, Anderson and Pope are in the they're in the dressing room right now throwing shit against the wall watching this match. And they're like, we have to follow this? Holy fuck. Well, they followed it. And they put on a good match. They did not put on a match that topped the semi-main event. That's for damn sure. It was a good match. It should have been the semi-main event. That's all there is to it. It would have been a great warm-up to Angle versus Hardy. Omega.
Hey. See, this was a good match. Yes. I mean, the way things are booked, no, this should not have been the main. I mean, it should have ended on, okay, who is it going to be? Angle or Hardy going on to face Anderson at Bound for Glory. And that should have been the match. That should have been it. That should have been your payoff, your big suspense. That would be a suspenseful, dramatic ending.
Yep.
But the crowd was dead. It took everything these two guys had, and they're both good at getting the crowd worked up just to get them back into it. You know, the match was okay, given this. I could have done with less showboating at the end. I mean, the bell rings, Anderson wins. He goes, okay, he gets the bright idea, okay, I'm going to go make a paper airplane and throw it at Pope from a foot away, and then I'm going to do the Steve Austin I'm going to combine Steve Austin and The Rock and stand on all corners waiting for the, you know, waiting for the crowd to finish my line with me.
Yeah.
Like, no, you're not The Rock, you're not Stone Cold. Get your ass back down on the mat, finish your line, get us the fuck home.
There you go. So, you might as well just throw in your grade for this one right now.
This was a B. It's a decent match, but not one you end a pay-per-view on.
Yeah, okay, well, decent grade. Mace.
This would have been a great semi-main event, as it's already been said. This would have been brilliant to warm the crowd up for the main event. But because of the way the main event, well, the other match, not, I keep calling that other match the main event because that's how I view it in my head. The other match ended the way it did, killed the crowd. The crowd just could not get into this. And Pope and Anderson, credit to them both, they actually pulled out the stops and tried to get people back into it. But unfortunately, the poor bastards are in the worst position ever, and their efforts are for naught. As for Anderson's over-the-top thing at the end, I think he sold the Pope giving him the finger like a shotgun blast, probably the best selling that guy's ever done in his whole career. But other than that, the guys put on a great match, but unfortunately, they were really trying to follow up a masterpiece, so these guys get a C+.
All right, Alan.
Can't really say anything that hasn't been said here. I'll give the match a B and the audience a C for being asleep at the wheel. But I've experienced tons of TNA pay-per-views live in person, and that's happened a lot after the match that they're chanting, this is awesome. I thought it would have been more pronounced for the audience to have walked out at the end of the Kurt Angle match and said, cool, that was the main event, we're out of here, see you, we're off to the Ale House. And they didn't do it.
All right, so grade the bitch.
I did. Match B, audience C.
There you go, match B, audience C. Okay, so we'll go with the B because we don't care about the audience.
Gotcha. TNA does.
Well, I just thought everybody knew that internet wrestling webcasts don't give a damn about the audience.
You don't give a damn about the cast members?
If that's the case, Omega, where the heck are my frickin' royalties as a SAG member, man? Because I should have gotten paid since 2004 by TNA Wrestling.
Yeah, well, I made three personal appearances in a row and didn't get a dime.
Damn right.
Got news for you. All right, the professional wrestlers are not members of SAG, which is short for Screen Actors Guild. For the one or two people who don't know that. Secondly, of course, sarcasm is such a wonderful thing, but only if the people that you're using it on get it. And the only person chuckling over that is Omega. So I'm assuming you got that, Omega.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all that matters. Yeah, Rock, you can piss right off. He's just behind the scenes chat here. So, really quickly, overall, is this pay per view worth buying the replay for? I have to say, yeah. There are enough good moments that if you didn't see it live, then yeah, it's worth the money to get the replay. Alan.
Yeah, get the replay. Why not? Bring your friends over.
Yeah, there you go. Mace.
Is it worth the replay? No. Was it worth the initial purchase? Yes.
Okay. Omega.
I'd tentatively yes. This is worth it. You are going to get a really, really good match out of it. Just don't expect a payoff.
Okay, there you go. My closing thoughts on TNA's No Surrender. This is the pay-per-view that followed up, you know, EV, the extreme violence TNA hardcore justice. And after getting treated to what we saw for hardcore justice, it was going to be extremely difficult, if not totally impossible, to follow it up with something absolutely amazing and out of this world. I will say TNA No Surrender,
this year has been one of TNA's better pay-per-views for 2010. It's worth the replay in my books. It left a bit of a feeling of bit of a letdown just because of what we saw for Hardcore Justice. Those are my words, and you're happy to them. I mean, that's just an opinion. Everybody's got one. Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Russ Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. News and rumors coming up on the other side of this quick little timeout. Don't you go nowhere. At the top. Straight to the top, but then you keep heading up. Stars shine for why we should give a fuck about what is real and how real is still the only way to feel the pain that sometimes feels in a way that survives the struggles we face in this life. There's a lot of time can't erase. Showcase the skills you were given at birth. Live your life here for what it's worth. Show off the style you perfect in life. Show off the way to make it right. Make it to the top of malprofession, rule it until you feel there's nothing more for you to do or say.
You know, the more things change, the more things stay the same. For as long as the internet wrestling community has been around, there have been people and internet radio shows that will bitch and complain about every little thing they see. Well, the crew over at WrestleTalk Radio are trying to change that by highlighting the positives of each and every WWE and TNA event. These wrestlers put their body on the line to entertain us each and every week. So how about we praise them instead of bitching about the little things that get to us? So with that in mind, you should come listen to WrestleTalk Radio, Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, or right after any WWE or TNA pay-per-view, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Because this is how we say thank you to those that entertain us.
And now, a message to our competitors.
Thanks
for tuning us in.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kinda did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of this
show. Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when you tune in to Online World of Wrestling Radio.
Mrs. Carino is on Online World of Wrestling Radio?
She sure is.
Oh my god, this is awesome! So Mom, you got any questions for your son that you want to air some funny stories about him?
Oh, there's so many stories I can tell you that it would take hours.
Are they going to make Steve turn blue? I don't want Steve turn blue.
I have a question for Mrs. Carino.
Okay.
I have a picture of me when I was about 4 years old in a pair of yellow rain boots, yellow underwear, and a bandana doing the Hulk pose. It's in a photo album somewhere. Do you have any embarrassing photos of Steve that you could tell us about?
No. Well, it's not so much embarrassing, but there was a contest one time.
Liar.
And it him and his buddy dressed up like the Rock and Roll Express. Well, they didn't win the contest, but years later, I ran into Ricky Moore. He was going to be at this show, so I took the picture with me. He just about died. Sorry.
By the way.
Remember to tune in to Online World of Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern Tuesdays, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Christy Annie, TNA Knockout.
I'm out here because I have something very important that I need to say.
And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Break the walls down! Hey, everybody, welcome back. WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Previous two segments, we looked at TNA No Surrender really quickly. If you haven't seen it, we have determined, we've decided, yeah, it's worth shelling out the money for the replay. So don't feel like you're going to get ripped off completely. Definitely it will wind up being worth the money if you decide to get the replay. Just don't go in expecting TNA's Hardcore Justice replayed. That's all we can say about that one. But, moving on. Guys, everybody, hey, news and rumors of, the wonderful world of professional wrestling. It has been announced TNA will be going live on Thursday night, starting October 7th. What do you think about this one, Mace?
Where was this many, many months ago when they decided to go to Monday nights?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this what you said originally, Tim? They should go live on Thursdays first, then That's see exactly. how it goes, and then maybe try Monday nights.
Yeah, I think the same guy who books the finishes of the matches booked this. I don't know.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it just
not really much to say on this one. No, this should have been done at the start of the year instead of the Monday night experiment. Congratulations,
yeah.
TNA. You're only 9 months late to everybody else's idea.
There you go, Omega.
This way overdue. Way overdue. The one thing killing TNA right now is that it's so easy to just go see whatever the results are going to be. Not, you know, it hurts SmackDown a little bit, but, you know, SmackDown, you don't get 2 weeks worth of results in one shot. You know? It just absolutely kills what audience TNA might get, especially when you're booking guys like, you know, that are known mostly from Ring of Honor. You know, people that, you know, a company that's most well known on the internet. You know, when you're booking to that community, you need to actually prevent that community from from being spoiled.
Yep.
The only way to do that is to go live. So, this, I don't know if this is going to be a stunt. I don't know how long it's going to last, but it's something they've needed to do for a long time now.
There you go. Let's, before he has a late snack, go to our special guest from Thanks. Alan, Big Wookie.
There's not much to say that the panel hasn't already said. I totally agree with what everyone said, that this should have been their move instead of going head-to-head on Mondays. They should have done live Thursdays back in 2006, whenever they went to Spike TV originally. That's what everybody thought the plan was. We're like, cool, they're going to go live Thursday nights. They're unopposed unless the NFL has a Thursday night game. And, you know, I'm so tired of Miss Carter and, you know, the surprise is coming. It's like, okay, cool. Really? The surprise is coming? Right. Seriously, now the surprise is coming. It's almost like whatever the surprise, it's almost like, put it into a TV perspective. Anyone that ever watched the TV show Frasier knows you never saw Niall's wife, Maris. Because everything that Niles and Frasier and Daphne and all of them said about the wife would never in a billion years matched up with any actress you could have put there. So short of the Beatles reuniting from the grave, the doors reuniting from the grave, cats and dogs living together, plague and madness, Ghostbusters rebooted, Dixie Camp, nothing. Nothing can match all this blah blah hype.
Yeah.
I just killed your show again, sorry.
No, you didn't. But,
but
yeah.
True, man, we talked about this on WWE Radio for months now.
Well, I don't know where you were 9 months ago, but Mace brought it up. When they first went to Monday nights, the whole big issue was I was extremely adamant they should go live on Thursdays before they try going head-to-head against Raw. And
I wasn't with you guys until late February when I was joined that other the OWW Radio program. So I totally agree with what everyone has said here. They should never have moved to Mondays. Everybody obviously knows they should never move to Mondays. Dixie Carter, if you watch the U shoot that she did with Sean Oliver, she even admits they shouldn't have moved. There's promoters that have been buried, cremated for years that are rolling in their grave going, we told you, dumbass, you shouldn't have done that. But what do we know?
Yeah. Well, you know, the point's there. But the way I see it, this can only benefit TNA, to tell you the truth. For the very reasons you pointed out, Omega, no more spoilers on the internet. You know how I feel about spoilers. Like it or not, there are going to be people going to, and yeah, I'm going to mention the websites. You know, they'll go to SC Scoops or WrestleZone or Wrestling Inc. They'll read, Tuesday Night Impact taping results.
Oh, hey, Tim, I'm guilty as all charges from 2004 to 2007. That was me.
Okay, well,
I was TNA's leak. I admit it. I did it. I was the guy that was posting the stuff on the Observer, Insider, the Torch.
Yeah.
Ellen is they.
So it was
me. He is them.
Ellen, so, I officially hate you.
Thank you.
Jeez, okay. Remind me to kick you in the balls if I ever meet you.
Thank you. But that was the thing. I actually had the media person from TNA in, when he took over in 2007, early 2007, he actually sat me down on a phone chat and said to me that I like what you do for us, but you do it too well. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, we wouldn't mind it if you just did who won, who lost, but the way you type your results, it deters from our viewers watching the show. So, no, it doesn't. Because guess what, dude? I type the stuff out when I'm here in the building, and guess what? My butt's watching on Thursday night anyway because I may have missed something.
See, that's bullshit. That's bullshit to begin with. Because it's the win and the loss that spoils the match, not what goes on during the match. You know, if you had typed up your reports like, okay, AJ Styles versus Abyss, and you go, okay, during the match, Abyss, hit AJ with, onto the thumbtacks, and then AJ hit a cradle shock, spiral tap. I'm screwing up X Division guys now. If you just typed out, oh, look at this shit they busted out, look at this shit, who won? I'll tune in. Fuck!
Yeah, but if I'm on the TNA payroll, Omega, then yeah, I'll do that, but I was never on their payroll.
Okay, back to where I was.
Just backwards logic with TNA. Well, we don't mind you pulling the results, but you.
Well, yeah, I agree that if this is a test balloon to see how live Thursday would do, great. But you're taking off this coming Thursday because the NFL season debut is this Thursday. You can say all you want. Oh, it's because Gangland's doing a marathon. BS. Hate to break it to you. From November, the NFL comes right back on their own network on Thursday nights with games. And oh yeah, every Thursday night, ESPN's got college football. So what's TNA's excuse going to be next? It's your show. Take it, please. Pretty
good. Yeah, nothing like jumping the gun. Thanks, Mr. OWW Radio guest host. skipping topics on me or some shit like that. I don't know. Gee whiz. Anyway. All these websites posting the spoilers, the Tuesday night tapings for SmackDown and TNA results and stuff like that. And I'll tell you right now, I practically never miss a live Raw program. And with TNA and SmackDown, they're recorded. And it doesn't matter how much I try to avoid the spoilers, I hear something about it throughout the week.
Well, yeah, if you're on the internet and you follow this business, there's no way to.
There's
yeah, but
no
that's
way
also
to-
like trying to be a film reviewer and not see the coming attractions. Roger Ebert has said he said that in his book, that he doesn't go when he goes to screen a film that's going to be out that Friday. He doesn't read anything, a synopsis that's given into him, the press kit. He doesn't read anything. He watches the film straight up cold. So doing what we do, it's a little hard to do that.
Yeah.
But it's also a totally, you're comparing apples to golf carts. You can't do that in this situation. Seriously, it's not the same fucking thing. It would be the same thing if the press release said, okay, here's what happens in the first 5 minutes of the movie, which sets up the next 10 minutes, this is what happens in the next 10 minutes, which sets up the next hour, and this is exactly everything that happens in the next hour, which sets up the big payoff of the movie, the climax, which is the last 5 minutes of the movie, and here's exactly how everything turns out. Now that we've told you, come and watch the movie and spend your $20. Then, you know, if the synopsis and the media kits were like that, there you go. But it's not the same. And I'll tell you right now, I'm more likely to remember not to miss TNA when it's live than it having been taped. Mace, any final input onto this?
Not really.
Oh, kidoki? So there you go. That being put to bed, TNA once again, everybody going live starting October 7th on Spike TV. Don't you dare miss it. Now, talking about TNA on Spike TV, Alan, you brought it up. They're not going to be on this Thursday. Why is that such a stupid thing for them?
Do you really got to go there, boss? Oh, yeah, you just had a pay-per-view. And now your audience is going to have to wait a week and more days, but they're taping Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
They're taping the next 3 weeks. Oh, sorry, not this week because there is no show. I mean, it's not TNA's decision. It's Spike TV. And that shows how significant TNA wrestling is to Spike TV. That, we're going to bump you guys. They should have bumped them to another night, say on a special Wednesday night edition of Impact or.
But that would screw up their
along those lines. Oh, what? Sorry, a mess up CSI or Ultimate Fighter or shows that you seem to care more about. This almost seems like, and Mason Omega can correct me if I'm wrong, but sometimes TNA seems like the way I read about how ECW was treated by the Nashville Network, which became the National Network, which became, oh yeah, Spike TV. That, unless you're really looking for it, I vaguely can remember on the top of, probably on account of either hand, watching other programming on that network, which is rare, but when I do, seeing a commercial for Impact, maybe you'll see it at the end of one of the 22 CSIs they run. No, yeah, I am, you know, as I said before, this Thursday it's college football's back, this Thursday the NFL's back, but I may be missing something, but last November, TNA didn't do this on a Thursday night when the NFL debuted and the NCAA came back on ESPN. So I don't understand it.
Well,
I don't know if anybody else can read the tea leaves on this and go, this is your solve all. We had a kick ass pay per view, but we're going to make you all wait till Thursday the 16th.
Okay. Now, keeping what Alan just said in mind, Mace, might it be a, move by Spike TV to protect TNA's ratings? Seeing as they don't want to see the ratings drop to like 0.01 this Thursday night with football coming on?
You're asking me, an Australian,
yeah,
about American rules football preempting TNA.
Well, I'm not...
Right! That sounds fucking logical, doesn't it, Tim?
Well, here's the thing. I'm not asking about American rules football. I'm asking you, can this be seen as a move by Spike to protect TNA from getting shitty ratings while something debuts that is going to get really, really high mid-double-digit ratings across the United States.
Well, I'm sure that this, even if it is a protection thing by Spike TV, makes more sense than pushing Raw back for the Westminster Dog Show.
Woof.
Which they don't anymore, because being back on Universal Networks, they bumped the dog show to CNBC or MSNBC.
Again, American stuff. I'm Australian. Yep. I don't give a fuck!
Well, let's remember, back in the day, they had to do this for what's going on right now in America, the U.S. Open Tennis Tournament. Up until a few years ago, when they were on the USA Network, Tim may remember this, on a Monday night, you missed Monday Night Raw for 2 weeks because USA Network had nighttime matches from Flushing Meadows. Now, you don't have that problem. Or it would be on at 11, as Sir Rockin was saying. Or whenever the tennis ended, some of the tennis went till 1 in the frickin' morning. And then, now you don't have that problem because ESPN bought the contract out. Omega, are you buying any of this? What we're saying, since you're an American, he's not. Are you buying what Tim and I are selling?
See, I can understand the logic here, especially the way that we just saw this pay-per-view booked. If you're going to go in with this big suspenseful storyline, you don't want it to reach, you know, 1/100th of their normal audience. You need it, even if it does, even if you do have to make people wait 2 weeks to actually get the results. At least going live now, they do have to tune in 2 weeks from now to figure out what the hell is going on. You do have a slight advantage to this. And at the same, you know, it is traditional that, yeah, ratings for wrestling declines when football season starts up again. And with, you know, the first big game of the season happening right when Impact is supposed to go on, with this big storyline that's leading up to their granddaddy pay-per-view. Yeah. I can understand this move. I mean, I really don't discourage them in any way. They're trying to protect what they have of TNA right now.
Okay. Now, basically what I was getting to before I got interrupted by everybody, Mace, as somebody who's not an American, the fact that Spike TV would do this, what does that say to you?
It says to me, what the hell is my cable company going to be playing at 11:30 on Saturday night? But then again, it won't really matter to me because by that time I'm hopefully going to be blind stinking drunk.
But that's an interesting question. What are they going to do for the international versions of Explosion or other countries that get Spike that get TNA wrestling? Because I know it's not on Spike TV where Mace lives. I think TNA wrestling in England was on Bravo or Sky or one of those. So how are they going to pull this off?
I don't know. Give me about 5 minutes. I could probably find out what they're playing instead.
Oh, heck yeah, because you guys are lucky. You guys get, I know at least England does, they get at least 3 different TNA shows besides Impact, lucky bastards.
Well, I know we get Impact here on Saturday nights. As for Explosion, I believe that's on one of the channels I don't bother watching, so I don't really pay attention. I watched Explosion once, and I'm like, yeah, I've seen this stuff before.
No, but isn't there a show called Epics or Legends or something else that TNA does that's international?
Probably some countries, but not over here.
Yeah, I thought that you mentioned
Impact
it.
For Impact next week, it's still listed as Saturday at 11:30 p.m. Here, so obviously the memo hasn't reached the Australian broadcasting people. Just like Australia, we know everything last.
We're getting screwed, and and everybody else is getting the show.
Well, yeah, it just makes me wonder what the ratings are like outside of the United States of America. All the other countries that get the program that are missing out. You know what I mean? Like you said, England. There's England. There's Australia. The entire United Kingdom, which comprises at least 6 or 7 or 12 different countries. I don't know. You know, throw in Canada there too. You know, just because something is coming on that is very American-centric. Nobody in England cares about the NFL. It's not real football to them. Soccer to them is real football.
Yet the NFL goes there every year with a game and sells it out.
And how many people in Australia are hardcore NFL fans, Mace?
None, because they don't bother coming down here, just like 9/10 of American stuff.
So,
but
you know,
we have rugby, which is basically the same thing as your NFL without the pads, because your guys are big fucking pussies.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah, no. If you want to go, pound for pound, the more physical, more painful looking game, definitely is Aussie Rules football. And to tell you the truth, if I have my choice of watching, say, the Philadelphia Eagles take on the New York Jets or Aussies playing Aussie Rule football, it's a toss-up as to what I'm going to watch, and I'll probably wind up watching the Aussie game. So
yay, because we're awesome.
But that's just me, a non-American, saying stuff like that. You know, don't pay much attention to what I say. Hey, I think Canadian football's entertaining.
You have 10 extra yards on your field and goalposts in weird places, dude.
It's a wider field. We've got bigger balls. There's a lot more to it. It's more exciting. It's a faster game. Sure, it's a bigger field. It's a faster game.
I wonder if Doug Flutie had so much fun up there. World's shortest, tallest midget.
World's tallest midget, the world's shortest giant. Yeah. You know, if he'd have been given the same break in the NFL as he did up here in the CFL, he'd have set a few records down there, I'll tell you. So, moving on, Vicky Guerrero, quote unquote, fires one of the NXT Diva rookies before the show even hits the air this Tuesday. So it's a 9-inch female giant. What was her name?
The WWE version, I think, was Aloysia. I think she wrestles as Isis on the indies.
Yeah, Aloysia. Apparently, the big deal there is that she's so super freaking green, they decided that she needs more seasoning in SCW Omega.
We'll see. WWE trying to rush another giant into the ring? Gee, where have I heard that before? It just seems like, okay, I get the idea. You got this really tall wrestler, and they look really imposing. Don't put them on TV before they can do anything with it. You have developmental areas for a damn reason. Make sure they can go before you put them on a national spotlight. It's just... We've heard it before. I mean, yeah, that's what happened to the Great Khali. I mean, they jumped the gun pretty much immediately on him, just because he's really super big. And I will admit to being interested in seeing a giant diva.
A 6 foot 9-inch woman?
Yeah. Well, we've never had anyone, like, you know, even when we had, like, China in the women's division, or, you know, now with, like, Beth Phoenix, you know, they're very imposing figures. But they don't have that monster quality to them that someone like the Big Show carries. It's not something you see in women's wrestling. This is a good opportunity to see that, if they wouldn't jump the fucking gun.
Mm-hmm. Mace, thoughts and opinions? Do you have any?
I do, actually. In preparation for NXT Season 3/ Diva Search 2010, I started doing research, trying to find matches of all these women and to see how they work. When I did find Isis the Amazon, some of her indie matches, my God, they made Great Khali look like Lance Storm.
Whoa.
Yes. I know, big thing to put out there, but I'll put it to you this way. When you have guys like the Great Khali, like the Big Show, like Andre the Giant Gonzalez, etc., 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 they play the big man style. They play the, I'm not going to bother taking a bump for you unless you're coming off the top rope with bricks tied to your feet. This girl, nothing like that. She was wrestling somebody who I would have put probably at about 5'6", and selling like she was the same height. There was no using her strength, no using her height to her advantage. She was playing off everything like it was a standard one-on-one match between two people of the same size. She does not know how to work that style. And if they were going to put her in the ring straight away without putting her through developmental, man, this was going to really drive people insane. So, yay for WWE for finally turning around and going, we have somebody who is very green. Yes, they have a very marketable gimmick. They have a very good thing that will probably draw people to the product. But we want to make sure that she can work properly first. So good on them for making this move.
All right. Alan, any input?
Well, we were fortunate Tuesday night that we had Mays on after Sean Davis talked for 6 hours, I think, and he happened to have been watching NXT and said, here's the list of girls, and I'm going, okay, some of these don't look bad, as I have the benefit of living in the FCW territory, so I can watch these girls on Bret Hart Sports Network. And Naomi Knight, I've seen, she's the Divas Champion. In fact, on the show that aired this past Thursday, being their Divas Champion, she wrestled AJ Lee, formerly Miss April, formerly Jay Lethal's girlfriend, who used to wrestle in WSU in New Jersey, and they had a pretty good match. The Maxine girl, I believe, is Liliana, who just got turned storyline-wise into their general manager. They're pulling the Raw GM type thing with WWE interfering and telling Steve Kearney had a report to Stanford for gross misconduct issues. Jamie Keyes, as everybody knows from, I think she was on NXT, is the ring announcer. That's what she does in FCW. The girl's never wrestled. And as far as Oksana, besides being, apparently she's a bodybuilder, never saw her wrestle on FCW either. She was Norman Smiley's arm candy for a while when he was the interim GM, and then Abraham Washington from ECW fame, where he was with Tony Atlas and other people. So you, as May said it best when he was on with us Tuesday night, this is Divas Search 2010 or the FCW developmental program, and the list of pros, with the exception of Primo Cologne and Goldust, none of these people should have anything to do with this. The Bella Twins are barely 2 years out of developmental. Kelly, I think, is 2 or 3 years out of developmental. Alicia Fox came in the same time as the Bella Twins, or maybe she came from OVW. And I've rambled on way longer than I wanted to talk about this. And this is a 4 week filler to get to Sci-Fi Network taking over Friday Night SmackDown. And then whatever shows are on Friday night, I believe, are getting moved to the Tuesday night slot since Warehouse 13 leaves at some point, because Warehouse 13 is the lead in NXT. And now you got to fill that slot. So why this is going on, Mace and I agree with this, and Mace can back it up. We said on Tuesday night, this should be a 4 week Divas Search on WWE.com. Or insert it into SmackDown like they did for the last season of Tough Enough.
So,
yes.
I don't understand why the heck they're doing this. Just to fill the 4 week contract obligation that WWE has with Sci-Fi. And there were stories that they were actually going to do a quick guys version with Consequences Creed, who wrestles under another name, the current FCW heavyweight champion, whose name I believe is Mason Ryder, who, if you go to FCWWrestling.com and look him up, he's Dave Bautista without all the tattoos, but the kid can work.
Yeah,
I think they were going to have Husky Harris's brother, Bo Rotundo, involved, and a couple other people like Johnny Curtis. And I can't remember some of the other names, but I'm kind of glad they didn't rush those guys. So great idea on paper, but why in the name of God are we having to subject 4 weeks of this to us? Don't watch it. Listen to us Tuesday night. We have way more fun than people watching that show. Shameless plug. Awesome. Buy the t-shirt, buy the hat, buy the book, the DVD, the poster.
There you go. So, everybody, WWE plans to unify all the titles within the next year, starting with the women's title next at Night of Champions. They've already unified the tag belts held by D.H. Smith and Tyson Kidd. A lot of people have commented that they're not too tickled, I guess would be a good way of saying it, of the look of the belts. But unification of the belts, what do you guys think? Is this possibly the next step into ending the concept of a brand split within WWE, Mace?
Yeah, quite possibly the start of the end of the brand split. Seriously, it's something that we've been wanting for a long time, and I do think that the roster balance issues that they've had between Raw and SmackDown need to be addressed, and this is the best way to do it. As for combining the belts, I'm hoping that if they are going through with unifying every single belt, that they take the best belt out of each one and actually making that one the main title, not redoing the belts altogether like they have done with the tag team titles. You know, I want to see the women's title belt become the women's title belt. Get rid of that gaudy butterfly-looking Divas belt. Throw that in the trash. Keep the IC belt. You know, retire the US title belt like they should have done when the WCW guys disappeared. You know, even though it's probably the belt that has the least credibility to it, keep the big gold world title belt. Get rid of that spinning thing. You know, keep the belts where they are, but actually, you know, put the proper belts back into it. Don't go and make all new belts, because if the tag belts are anything to go by, my God, some of them can be shocking.
Well put. Omega.
I'm in, I don't know, half agreeance here with Mace. I think, yeah, this might be the start of combining the brands, and mostly because think of how the writing in WWE goes these days as it is. I mean, most every feud these days is because someone has a belt, and you have, I don't like you. I don't like you either. Well, I got a belt. Okay, let's fight over it. All right, I'll see you in 3 weeks. And that's your whole feud. And it's mostly because, oh, hey, he's got a belt. Now you're going to have half as many titles and two brands at a time, which means there's going to be points where, maybe one brand doesn't have a belt, maybe the other has two, the IC and the world title. You know, it raises the value of the belts, but then again, it gives the other show a hell of a lot less to do. And the reason they stopped the whole undisputed title crap is because it was such a hard thing to do to keep the champion going back and forth between the shows, not only for how much more it costs to do that, but for also how much more work it puts on the top guy in the company. I mean, it's a lot to ask of him to carry both a major feud on one show and then kind of a minor, at least show your presence feud on another show. It's not only distracting from the major feud, it's a lot to put on the top guy. So I really don't see how this balances out unless they do recombine the brands at some point. And I will agree with Mace. Yeah, you do need to keep the most credible title. You know, I want to see the women's belt. And on, you know, if we're going to do a unification match, can we start by gluing that thing back together? I want to see that belt as the women's title. I want to see the Intercontinental belt. But when you get to the top tier, no. Please, with all due respect, please come up with a new belt. I don't like either one of them. I don't like the old WCW belt, and I hate the fucking gaudy spinner belt, where even John Cena was quoted as saying the belt has outlived itself. I mean, it's, you know, even he doesn't like it anymore. So it's got to go. And there's already rumors of that happening. Yeah, and I only hope it happens fast.
There you go. Alan, your thoughts about this whole thing?
Well, Mason Omega covered it really well. I mean, I remember back to the brand split was done because supposedly there were so many guys that came in from WCW in 2001 and 2 that instead of, oh yeah, letting WCW have its own TV show, which Vince's networks wouldn't allow him, he created his own WCW. And then you had the Intercontinental title merge into the world title and all this other stuff. And, I agree with Omega that if you go back and remember the champ in 2001 and 2, yeah, that was a lot of damn work to do. And then you had all the stuff that if a person run when Undertaker took the belt, lost the belt to Hogan or something like that in Nashville, it was like, or Triple H did it, it was like, okay, so because the champ's isn't on either show, but he lost to a SmackDown guy, the champ now, former champ now has to work on SmackDown only. Huh? So unless WWE's got the financial means to do this, to have like the Hart Dynasty defend the belts on both shows, which they haven't, which they should have, I'm interested to see how it'll play out. I mean, especially if you keep it quiet and don't let it be done on the air and keep it, you know, started at Royal Rumble, I guess, guys. Would that be the best place to do it? Just for a while there, it kind of looked like that, where you had when Brock Lesnar and Goldberg and all that, and people did the thing going into WrestleMania 20, it was like, hey, wait a minute, we may get rid of this title unification stuff. So, as I don't know, it's hard to judge it on paper. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of fun some nights to meet people at shows and they go, oh, I just watched SmackDown. I can't stand Raw. Raw's horrible. Or I watch Raw only. I like SmackDown.
Well, the one thing about unifying the belts is we will have that definite crossover and I think, you know, definitely extended storylines. Concerning the titles, maybe we'll see them used as props less often. Who knows? Who knows? But that being said, it's getting on in the evening, so why don't we jump right into some quick hits?
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow, fine.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Well, here it is, quick hits, the final part of the show. We have a little bit of fun with this. It's basically the wind down. We're going to start with you, Omega. Is Kane the MVP of the WWE in 2010?
Oh, jeez. I'm trying to remember any other standout in 2010. The only thing that comes to mind is the rise of the anti-hero Randy Orton. But you know what? At least for the SmackDown side, yeah, I would call Kane the MVP. Not only finally getting his due, not only running what's actually a pretty decent feud with Undertaker right now, where, you know, Undertaker's the vulnerable one for a change. He's been pulling out a lot of things on SmackDown that have, you know, either gone back to the Monster roots or put him, you know, as a more convincing person for the world title, which never should have been in doubt in the first place. You know, so at least on, you know, maybe not on Raw's half of the WWE right now, but for SmackDown, certainly, yeah, I'd call him an MVP.
All right, so based on all of that, sure, what the fuck, why not? Mace, out of all of the men who didn't win WWE's NXT Season 2, which one do you think has the best chance to make it as a future star, and why?
All right, so as a future star, well, let's get this little portion out of the way. We will see all these guys pop up in some way, shape, or form on either Raw or SmackDown soon enough. As for who actually has the the power to sort of jump up and go, me, me, push me, I'll do great for the company. Alex Riley, he just seems to be a character that's able to annoy the shit out of the fans. He's able to be a credible heel. He can actually wrestle to a good degree. He's basically the Wade Barrett of this second group. So I'll give it to him.
Okay, there you go. Alan! Who okay. is... Who is they?
I don't think TNA Creative knows who they is. Like we've said, it was... Everybody thought, oh, cool, it's the EV2 guy. Oh, wait, no, not the EV2 guys. Damn. All right, it's Fortune, where we're spelling them F-O-U-R-T-U-N-E. Ah, can't copyright the word Fortune. And it's like, yes, that's it, that's it. No, it's not. Damn. So they're going to tease this for another month to get to Bound for Glory. It's not Paul Heyman, unless they're surrendering power. I'll go with they as Dixie Carter. Why not? It's the most dumbass. It's like, who's the anonymous GM on Raw? Okay. It almost feels like, to round my point, it almost feels like that. You know, you're sitting there going, it's almost like, okay, the 90 days are up. Who's the 90 days are up on for here? And you can't have anybody, can't have, what are you going to do? What is going to be it? I don't know. I can't give a specific. I'll go with Dixie Carter. Why not?
Okay, there you go, Dixie Carter. All right, Omega, in 100 words or less, who would be your number one draft pick in a wrestling fantasy league?
In a wrestling fantasy league?
Yeah.
Okay, what was this? WWE fantasy league? Is this any wrestling? Mark's telling me you got it wrong.
Yeah, well, don't worry about it. Answer the question anyway. Unless you want the one that was meant for you.
Take the physical challenge, dude. Take the physical challenge.
Take the second question. Take the second question. It's better.
Yeah. I want the question that was meant for me.
All right. When Spug's not here, we had to ask his question some way. Anyway, all right. Legitimately, here's your second question. If you had to team up a WWE superstar and a pop diva to do a duet, who would it be and what song would you want them to sing?
I'm trying to remember anyone in pop music. God, I honestly can't think of any.
Pop diva, you know, you've got Christina Aguilera, Britney Spears, Lady Gaga. Those are just three to choose from.
it'd probably be Britney Spears because I'm absolutely sick and tired of her.
Okay.
And it's appropriate because of the song. It'd probably be a duet with Kane.
Okay.
And it would be... You know, she would have to sing Hit Me Baby one more time while Kane actually acts it out.
You do realize the song is not about physical violence, right?
Kane's going to take it literally.
Oh, okay. Well, there's your answer. Kane teamed up with Brittany. All right. Mace, if you could have any two men call a wrestling match of yours, who would it be and why?
Any two. I'd say Jim Ross and Gorilla Monsoon. Why? Gosh. Because they are the two most iconic voices. Yes, Paul Gorilla has passed on from this world, but he is still one of the most iconic voices in the wrestling business, and to have two legends like that to call one of my matches would be an absolute honor.
Well, it would be interesting to hear Gorilla Monsoon after you get pinned for the three count say, stick a fork in him, he's done.
However, I could always turn around and say Michael Cole just so he can go, Vintage Mace! But, nah.
Nice! Oh, frick, no. The last one, here it is, last one of the night. Alan, with Karen Angle and Jeff Jarrett getting married last weekend, what would you give them for a wedding present?
Candlesticks are always really nice, or maybe a place setting. I've seen Bull Durham like a couple hundred thousand times, so that's the standard answer I always give. If you ever never seen Bull Durham, rent it, DVR it, Netflix it, you'll get the gag.
Alrighty then. Yeah, no, good movie, good gag. Okay, well, there you go. And that's it. We're done. Let's get the hell out of here, everybody. Don't forget Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, OWW Radio, OTL. Wednesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern. Thursday at, 11 o'clock Eastern time, I do believe anything goes.
Ish.
Okay. Friday, Running the Ropes. Some kind of wrestling show called Running the Ropes. It's on at 6 o'clock Eastern. Why don't you show up and give the boy a hand? He needs it badly. And, of course, we might just have some more DJ night nights Friday night. We'll find out. For Saturday, midnight-ish, CB Radio. Next Sunday night, another edition of WKR Sunday Night, talking a little bit about wrestling and crap. That being said, time to get out of here, everybody. Have yourselves a great week. Catch you again.
Assholes.
You've been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.